Talk some Flames logo. A few topics I wanted to touch on. They played their second of two prospects games with the Oilers yesterday night. 4-1 win for Calgary. And you know, a few topics we touched on yesterday that kind of wanted to get your thoughts on as well. And Dustin Wolf had himself a really solid game. Good game in front of him as well. And final 40 minutes of that prospects game yesterday, not a lot of work for Wolf, but he went the full way once again. Played all 60 on Saturday and all 60 yesterday as well. And on the Daily Flames roundtable yesterday, Derek Will and I talked about, you know, the prospects and can you see a world where Dustin Wolf gets NHL games this year? And my take was, yes, I can. I don't have to squint that hard to see a world where Wolf plays in the NHL this year. And my Cole's notes on it was basically one of the goalies at the NHL level gets hurt for a week or two, whether it's Markstrom or Vladar, and Dustin Wolf's the best goaltender in the American League, and the Flames are in a playoff fight. And if Dustin Wolf is outplaying Adam Werner in the AHL and somebody gets hurt in the NHL, I don't think you have to kind of twist yourself in too many knots to see a world where Wolf would get the first call up in that scenario. So that's me, but what about you? Can you see a world where that transpires this year?
I can. My version of that's a little bit different than yours, and I can see Dustin Wolf being the late season failed lost season call up, if you will, the Akeem Alou late season call up, the, you know, late year. Well, let's get a look at a guy late in the year because we really don't have anything left to prove. It's not the ideal scenario, and I'm not saying it's going to happen that way. But if the Flames find themselves late in this season with perhaps an overworked Jacob Markstrom from an Olympic schedule and things just haven't gone their way, Dustin's been productive and competent at the AHL level. Why not give him some NHL experience in a season that didn't go your way? I can see a world where yours happens too in injuries and the fact that they just don't have a ton of, like, I mean, can you tell me that the gap is that wide between where Dustin Wolf's at and where Adam Werner's at? I don't think in reality it's all that big. Maybe in age it is, and in some pro experience it is, but I don't think in actual skill development speak for goaltenders that you can argue that they're that far off from each other.
Mm-hmm.
My scenario, I think, just comes in more as a kick at the can late season sort of thing.
Somebody texted in, yeah, because that's what Sutter did at the end of the year last year. It's
true.
That's fair, but no, that absolutely is a plausible scenario too. And yeah, that is absolutely a way that we could see him get some games down the stretch. I guess because I'm really hoping for, you know, not a lost season. It's fun when they make the playoffs, and it's fun at this station when they make the playoffs. It's fun in this city when they make the playoffs. Am I super invested in it? Am I, you know, does it matter to me? No, because we're going to talk about the team regardless. But I'll tell you what, it's more fun doing the big show when the team isn't the team that played last year or the results that were last year. Last year was a nightmare. It was probably too negative on this station last year. But you know what? I'm not even going to talk for anybody. I was probably too negative is what I mean. I was probably over the top negative, but it was hard not to be at times. It was hard not to get sucked into that spiral because it was such a nightmare year. So I'm not going to talk for the station. It's more just, I felt like I was a little bit too negative on the call-in show, and I was a little bit too negative on the it turned into that type of year because of how bad it was. It's way more fun when they're playing well. It's way more fun when they're actually a relevant team. So I'm hoping that they're competitive, and I'm hoping that we're talking about, you know, the month of April, where they play basically start to finish in the month of April, isn't a lost month. That would be the ideal. It would just, so I'm hoping your scenario doesn't come into play, because I think we've done too many of those. Let's talk about who's going to play down the stretch from the AHL. Whereas, I mean, you don't probably want one of your NHL goaltenders to get injured either. But if Dustin Wolf is the best goalie in the American League, that's a good thing for this guy in his development.
Well, I mean, I don't even think he has to be the best goaltender in the American League for that scenario to come into play, Pat. I think he's just got to be within earshot of the other guy. You gotta tell me. You can't tell me the organization wouldn't be more interested in seeing Dustin Wolf at the NHL level, having invested time and development in him compared to Werner. You know what I mean?
I do, but the only thing I'd say about that is Werner's older and he has NHL experience, and they're probably less worried about the NHL, the step up to the highest level in the world, messing him up, you know? Like, they're probably a little less worried about that happening as opposed to with Wolf. He's 20. His first pro season. Do you want to have a stint in the NHL mess him up? That's why I think he has to be the best guy.
He got lit up in an AHL start last year.
He did. And affect him. But the NHL is a different animal, like a significantly different animal than the AHL. But if he's competitive, then at the very least, I think they think about it for sure. What about Jacob Pelche going into main camp? Like, do you close the door on him having a shot? I thought he was the best player on Saturday. I thought he was noticeable again in the game last night against the Oilers at the Saddle Dome. Have you shut the door on him being able to make a push in training camp, or is that something that you're interested in?
No, I'm interested in it. I think that just because these veteran guys are here, it doesn't necessarily shut the door on any young player, Pelche or Gaudin or anybody, from coming in and taking a roster spot. I think that, and I mentioned this to Kelly a couple times because he's brought this up a few times, and he's in the same boat as I think Will is, and maybe a lot of other people are, that these veterans can't be unseated because Daryl Sutter trusts them and knows what some of these guys are about, and he doesn't know that about the young guys. Well, I think that can be developed pretty quickly with one thing, and I think for me it's consistency. If Jacob Pelche can maintain a standard for himself, and this is a blanket statement for any of the young guys, from practice to in your game opportunities, from day in, day out, you can build that consistency into your game and into your habits, which is not an easy thing to do, because right, we've seen guys like Dylan Dubé and Yusuf Alamaki, guys who are, you know, highly touted prospects within an organization, struggled to do that. If you can achieve that, then I don't think the coach or the GM or anybody else has any reason to not put you into the lineup. But I think that that's often the hardest thing to do. Daryl Sutter and Kirk Muller and the rest of this coaching staff, and even Brad Schilling by signing them, brings in a Brad Richardson, brings in a Trevor Lewis, Tyler Pitlick, because they know what they're getting out of those guys day in, day right out. Is it the most fancy thing in the world? No. Is it the most miraculous, you know, world earth-shattering thing? No. But you know Brad Richardson's going to be good defensively. You know he's going to be good in the face-off circle, and you know what he's going to bring in day in, day out. He's going to trust that over somebody that goes through peaks and valleys on a day in and day out basis. So right, if Jacob Pelche or any of the other young guys can come in and give a solid day in, day out effort that is the same from the beginning of the week to the end of the week, then I think absolutely they can have a chance.
Yeah.
Not an easy thing to do, though, because we've seen plenty of guys, and we see guys much older than them still struggle with that on a pro level.
Yeah, and I think the only thing he can do right now is be noticeable when he's out there. Preseason game, he'll get preseason games. He'll probably, I'm guessing, just knowing how Brad Treliving's training camps have worked in the past, I'm guessing Pelche lasts a long time. I'm guessing he's going to be here a while. And I think he'll be one of the last cuts, unless he falls completely off. I think he'll be one of the last cuts when it's all said and done. They like to do that with guys who are knocking on the door or who are close. So I think he'll last a long time in training camp. And so I think they play eight preseason games. Would not surprise me if he's playing more than half of those preseason games, like in the 5-6 range when it's all said and done. Would not surprise me at all. So there are 5 or 6 opportunities for him to be noticeable. It doesn't have to be once you're starting to play with other NHLers, even though those NHLers will be going probably a little closer to half speed just because it's the preseason, you still have to be noticeable. You don't have to be the best guy. You have to be noticeable. You have to stand out in a positive way. And if he does that throughout, and if that is the norm for him, then at the very least, I think he leaves them with a decision. And I know there is this reputation of Daryl Sutter, no, he only plays veterans. But I believe, from what I know about this head coach, as much as that reputation is there and there for a reason, I also think he is all about putting the best roster on the ice. And if Pelche is one of those guys who's consistent and pushes, I don't think it's crazy to think that he could get a shot over to start the season over one of the veterans on the team.
Well,
that has to happen.
And is it really a case of Daryl Sutter only plays veteran guys, or is it a case of Daryl Sutter plays guys he can trust? And they just happen to be veterans.
I think it is more the latter than the former, but I also think he is, I think with a lot of coaches, it's not even just Daryl. There's a lot of coaches.
Exactly.
You naturally trust veterans first. You naturally trust guys who have 600 NHL games and zero NHL games. And that person, that player with zero NHL games, has to do a lot to be able to earn that trust or kind of overrule the trust that is had in the other guys. So it is. That's why I'm fascinated. I don't have the door closed on it the same way others do. I understand why you might have the door closed on it. I do. I'm a little bit more optimistic about it. You can call me naive if you want, but I'm a little bit more optimistic about it heading into camp. So I'm really curious to see how that plays out with Pelche. There was the other first round pick at this prospects camp is Connor Zeri. He blocked a shot in that game last night. I don't think he meant to block the shot, which is why it caught him off guard, took it off kind of the inside of his left ankle, left foot, was in a lot of pain. Everything that I'm led to believe, that I don't think we're talking about anything serious. And then today the team announced day-to-day. So I don't think we're talking about anything serious with Zeri, whereas Johannes Schinvall, that was a week-to-week injury that was sustained on Saturday. I don't think we're talking about a major, major thing here for Connor Zeri, which is good news. And one other guy I've got my eye on in main camp and into the AHL season, not so much the NHL season, but I think this guy can make some interesting waves in main camp and can make some really interesting waves over a full American League season. Emilio Pettersson, the fourth round pick going back to 2018. This guy's just a lot of fun to watch. I enjoy every time he's out there. Sixth round pick, not fourth round pick. Apologies. Every time he's out there, every time I watch him play in person, he always pops. Every time he is a guy that you look at and say, man, this guy's good. This guy skilled. He's around it. The puck finds him. So I'm really interested to see what year two in the American League holds for him. Big Show is underway on this Tuesday afternoon. It's Pat Steinberg, Logan Gordon along with you. And the Calgary Flames Charity Golf Classic is today up at Country Hills, all in support of the Calgary Flames Foundation. A little bit later on this hour, we're hoping to catch up with Flames alumni Troy Brower. But right now, whenever we talk foundation, there's only one person we can talk about, and that is the one and talk to, the one and only Candace Gowdy of the Calgary Flames Foundation. Hello, Candace.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. How'd it go at the course today?
You know, really well. I mean, obviously, could you pick a better day? And we have golfed in everything from sleet and snow to rain to, it's just, it's perfect. And everything is going really, really well. So we're pretty happy about it.
I know that there were challenges this year. The world we're living in right now, it's a different world. So things can't happen exactly as we're used to. They can't be exactly as normal. So tell us about the differences, the challenges that went into this year's Charity Golf Classic.
Yeah, I mean, it has been different for sure. This is our 40th annual event. It should be our 41st, but we missed that last year. Yep. So this year we don't have any players attending, and it's just NHL protocol, same with our coaches. So we've really had our alumni step up and a lot of media and local celebrities. So we still have a really great roster out there. And all of our events are being held outdoors. So registration was outdoors, breakfast was outdoors this morning. And then we just have something really short after golf, which will also be outdoors, just like outside of the clubhouse. So that's different. And thankfully, it's the best day ever to do something like that.
No kidding.
So it could be a lot different, but it still looks a lot different. Usually we also have this at two different golf courses, and then we have everybody at the Saddle Dome for dinner, and there's, 420 people that participate. And this year we just, we had a much smaller event. So it sold out really quickly, which was a great thing. And we're going to raise money for the Calgary Flames Foundation. So it's just a great thing to be hosting an event, no matter what it looks like.
Why is this event so important for the Flames Foundation? Why is this such a hallmark event, Candace?
Yeah, I mean, it's been around for 42 years, really. And it has been traditionally the kickoff for our season. So usually a day or two later, fitness testing starts, camp starts for our main camp. It's the kickoff to our season, and it's a huge fundraiser for us. So it's just, it's that back to school feel. Everybody's back in town. It's a really celebratory occasion. And we usually raise, you know, between this and our poker tournament, they are our largest fundraisers. And traditionally that has been, you know, financially, that has been a great deal of the makeup of our financial year and what we can do because of it in the community. So it is a really big deal for us. Obviously, we've had a ton of success with our 50-50 program, which has literally rescued us through the last 20 months. But these events are so important to us. And, you know, just the connection, the volunteers, our season ticket holders, our sponsors, our supporters, that's a really important thing to maintain. And, you know, we're a team after all. And this is part of it.
Candace Gowdy from the Flames Foundation is with us. The Calgary Flames Charity Golf Classic today at Country Hills. And you talk about the 50-50 and how much that has been a life preserver for the foundation. And a big reason for that, demand is up everywhere. We talked about this before, Candace. It's like in a pandemic, the demands don't go away for the charitable organizations. The Flames Foundation helps fund and helps on a yearly basis. And probably the demand goes up, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, is the short answer. Yes, and it's been, it's just been very eye-opening to the broadness of need. You know, and usually we support a very specific area. You know, we live in health and wellness and a lot in sports and families. And the last 20 months we've really broadened the scope of the charities and groups that we work with and have been providing funding to. And it's just been very eye-opening. You know, just some of the need that has been a result of the pandemic or related to or exacerbated. So, yeah, I mean, it is certainly important. And, you know, you look at the funds that we raised through the 50-50 program the last year and a half, and they've all been distributed.
Yep.
So, you know, we had distributed almost $4 million now through our COVID support program, which is not really planned giving. That's not, they're groups we wouldn't usually give to. So it's tremendous. And we are very, very thankful for the people that are supporting us so that we can act as what we feel like are leaders and hopefully help some people get through this. We know that the needs are broad, and that is certainly an understatement.
Final thought for you, Candace, just as now, I know things aren't 100% normal. They're getting back to normal. We're getting closer to normal. We're back on a normal NHL calendar schedule. So what is the 2021-22 season have in store for the Flames Foundation?
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, you look at something like a hockey season, how cyclical it is, and, you know, same date, same sort of thing, and so much changes year to year, and it just doesn't really work like that, even though it feels the same. I mean, this year we launched a $2 million inclusion program, which we chatted about, which is great, but we're working with all of these, some of the same and new partners on different ways to get families involved in sport and how to remove barriers to participation and to entry and, you know, how to open doors and, you know, really confront some of the barriers that we know exist to participating, and not just hockey and sport. So this is C6 thing, so obviously focused on football, lacrosse, and hockey, but focused on sports too. And that's been, you know, certainly eye-opening for me and something that I've really enjoyed working on. And for the Flames Foundation, it's going to be a priority for us, you know, as we continue to focus on our traditional programs as well. The Rotary Flames House and Grade 6 program and our school program. So it's good. We're growing and we're doing, you know, a lot of new and, you know, what we think are pretty impactful things. And it's just nice to be able to see some people in the building, at least again here pretty soon, Sunday. We keep talking about it. I'm like,
I know.
Sunday.
That's it's 5 days from now, Candace.
Yeah, this week. It's crazy and it's exciting. So
you're the best. Congratulations on another successful Charity Golf Classic. Congratulations on the continued success of the 50-50 and honestly, all the best of luck for the coming season with the Flames Foundation. Always a pleasure catching up with you, Candace. We'll talk soon. Hey.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for all your help.